sack. Is that all you get for your money? And if that's what you have in mind, yeah, if that's what you're all about, good luck moving up, 'cause I'm moving out.
Good morning and welcome to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move with Becky Ivins. Today, if you've ever lived in or you want to live in an historic home or even just a home that's built before about 1960, it's got a crawl space, you are in luck because I have as my guest today, David Gastgeb, who is an engineer, structural engineer. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Becky. Thank you for inviting me.
Sure. I appreciate your coming in here because there's a lot of restoration of historic homes and just a lot of homes that were built pre-war or kind of the after the war even that have crawl spaces. Those are so misunderstood, and you could shed some light on that.
There are a lot of issues and a lot of things that can happen with crawl space houses, and it seems like the 30-somethings of today are just lining up to buy those houses.
And there's a lot to those houses that are, if they've not been totally redone, I mean, the walls don't even have insulation.
I've seen newspaper in some of the walls that has been stuffed in as insulation dated 1933.
Wow. Talk about tinder for a...
That'll go up pretty fast.
For a flame, right?
Yes.
The most challenging thing on the homes, and about 1960, some of them 1955, started to be slab homes where there was no crawl space under it.
Yes.
Okay. And most of them, I mean, like Belle Isle and some of Nichols Hills were the upper end homes were about 1955, they started doing the slab.
Yes.
Okay. But for the most part, about 1960, I think, was the year that slabs came in. So if you have a home built in the 1950s or before, chances are you got a crawl space.
Unless it's an exception. Yes, that's true.
Okay. As realtors and inspectors, our big thing is access to get under the house. I mean, now, not that I crawl under a house, but the inspectors do. The termite inspector does.
And the home inspector does, too, yes.
Yes. So the access is sometimes very limited, and at times we've not been able to find access.
There have been instances where people have had to cut holes in the floor in a closet, some inconspicuous area, to create an access for the termite guy, for the home inspector, for myself to go down and see what's going on down there.
Because you do want to go under a house to check it out.
I think it's pretty important for somebody to go in a crawl space house to see what the condition of the wood is, to see what the condition of the supports are, especially if there's some unevenness of the floors. And if no one's ever been under there, you know, who knows what you're going to find.
It may be pristine.
It could be.
But typically in Oklahoma, you kind of have a small lake under there sometimes.
I found some very interesting things in crawl spaces.
Well, but they tend to be kind of lower than the ground around them for some reason. And maybe it's because the ground around them, it just keeps building up a little bit over the years.
No, they are. That's correct. So you usually go down to go in the crawl space. So, you know, it's important that that there's good drainage away from the house, because I've recently been associated with a couple of houses that we've looked into the crawl space, and there's a pond underneath there, which is a real bad thing to find whenever you look into a crawl space.
And what would that, how would that hurt a house?
Well, of course, crawl spaces are sort of closed in areas, and if you read the building code, it tells you they have to be ventilated, so that you want to obviously flush any moisture out that's in the crawl space. But if you have a constant source of moisture, that moisture tries to migrate up into the house. And if you have wood floors, as you know, wood floors do not like moisture. It makes your heat and air run harder to get the humidity out. It starts to deteriorate the wood that's in the crawl space that's actually holding up the floor. So there's a multitude of bad things that can happen if you have water under your house.
and someone told me they had a sea serpent under their house. It might have been a water snake of some kind, do you think?
It could have been, because I've seen some pretty good snake skins in crawl spaces.
Yeah. So, well, they're kind of a hidey hole for...
Yes, they are.
Yeah. Some folks use the crawl space for, literally, we call them a hidey hole. Like, they go under their house during a tornado or something. They don't really have a storm shelter, but they've got a hole cut, and sometimes it's hinged hole in a closet, and they go under the house.
They do. I'm not sure I would condone that, because it's not a certified storm cellar, and if your house caves in, you just have your framed floor above you, so you don't have much protection if your house collapses. So, you know, I've seen that as well, but I'm not sure that that's the best place to be.
Right. Now, for the access hole, are there standards that you should have, like the size or where they're located?
Yes, there are. If you read the International Residential Code, they tell you that if your access is through the floor, like if it's in a closet or someplace like that, that it has to be 18 inches by 24 inches. If your access is through a perimeter wall, which is the way most of them are, through the outside, it's got to be 16 by 24.
Which is still kind of small for most people to fit into.
Yes, it is.
Our people are bigger nowadays than they used to be.
I think both of those are true.
And then once they get under there, many times under an access hole spot, you find it and you open it up and there's an air duct
right in front of it. That's true. And a lot of the older houses obviously did not have central heat and air when they were constructed, and the people have added central heat and air. And if it's a two-story house, then the first floor heat and air ducts have to be in the crawl space, and most people use those flexible ducts, but they're fairly big, but they're also very easily to collapse, so you don't want to be crawling over them or trying to push them out of the way. So there's a lot of instances where you're right, where you take the covering off and you see a big HVAC duct or a water line that you can't navigate around.
Well, and then, but water lines are a little bit more difficult to move, I would think, or drain lines, but the heat and air ducts can be disconnected and shoved out of the way enough to get someone under there typically.
Yes, they can. So if it's mandatory to be under there, then you need to get the heat and air guy to disconnect them and get them out of the way so that you can have access and see what you need to see.
Now, many times I've sold homes, David, that have crawl space, and the home inspector finds that the heating and air conditioning ducts are totally disconnected under the house, probably because of a raccoon or something that has disturbed them under there. Have you seen stuff like that?
Yeah, I've been in crawl spaces that have been very comfortable on a hot summer day, and you start crawling around and you see exactly what you're saying. One of the ducts has been pulled loose, and so the people that live there are paying to air condition the crawl space.
Without the benefit of using it, right?
Yeah, without having a TV down there.
Right. So, well, there's a lot to talk about supports under there, and other than just access to it, and what do you do when those supports fail, and we're going to talk about that. And if you want to know how to reach David, and Dave, you do home inspections, structural inspections.
That's correct, yes.
And that's, of course, how I know you and for many years. But Dave is one of my favorites, which is on my website. So just go to BeckyIvins.com, and you're going to find a tab that says Becky's Favorites. And it's not a very long list, but nobody pays to be on there. They are people that I would trust to inspect or be in my home without my even being there. They're just people I've worked with a very long time that do a terrific job. So I do suggest that you go to BeckyIvins.com Of course, if you want to find out what your home's worth, hit on that What's My Home Worth button. Or if you want to buy a home, do that too. We will certainly help you with your real estate transactions. But today we're talking to Dave Gastgeb, structural engineer, about crawl spaces and the scary stuff under there. And we'll return right after this break with more on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. You are listening to Becky Ivins, and I am interviewing Dave Gastgeb, who is my go-to structural engineer. And Dave, when do we get a structural engineer's report? I mean, what are the circumstances that typically surround your coming to a property?
Well, the most common is that people are buying a house and they see thing, or their home inspector sees something that he's not comfortable making a call on. So he suggests to the home buyer that they retain a structural engineer to evaluate what the situation. Another instance is homeowners see things going on in their house that they're not sure what's causing it or what needs to be done, so they will call a structural engineer.
Okay. And that's how exactly I end up calling you. And so your credentials, sort of, I mean, like, what are your credentials?
Well, I'm a licensed structural engineer in the state of Oklahoma, which means that I've got a degree from an accredited university in structural engineering, and then I've passed a test that shows that I'm competent as far as the structural engineering practices concerned.
There's like two different tests, aren't there? In there, the FEE when you go in, but isn't there something else like 5 years later or something?
Yeah, I'm going to show my age. Whenever I graduated from college, it was called the EIT test. It was called the Engineer in Training, and I took it my senior year, and that's over all the fundamentals of engineering. So it's not just specifically structures. It's over all of your courses, and you have to pass that before you can take the PE test. Now they call it the fundamentals examination, and you take it at the same time, and then you have to work or apprentice or whatever you want to call it for a licensed engineer for 4 years, and then you apply to the state board to take the PE test.
Well, one of my kids, my youngest one's an engineer.
Good for him.
He says, well, I'm not a real engineer. He's a systems engineer. but he's a good problem solver, and that's what a systems engineer does, is kind of, well, look at the problem and figure out what other engineers he needs to actually figure it out and do the work.
Well, that's what engineers do. They solve problems.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, well, we're talking about houses, and particularly houses in central Oklahoma, and a lot of our houses in central Oklahoma, the closer you get to city center, they are made of a crawl space nature. So they've got a crawl space under it. And we've kind of talked about access to it and obstacles trying to get in to examine it. And we mentioned the crawl space, but I think I would like you to address the ventilation, because a lot of folks keep those ventilation louvers, or they just block them up with wood or concrete blocks all year round.
Okay. If you look in the building code, the International Residential Code, the IRC, they have a crawl space section in there, and they have requirements as far as the size of opening per the square footage of your house. For example, the code says you have to have a 1 square foot opening for each 150 square feet of under floor space, unless the ground is covered by a vapor barrier, and then it's just 1 square foot for every 1,500 square feet of under floor space. I will say this, Becky, it's my experience, and I'm embarrassed to say I've been in a lot of crawl spaces. It's very rare that I see a vapor barrier on the ground in a crawl space. I'm not saying that I don't, but it's very rare that I do. So the 1 square foot for every 150 square feet is more applicable to to most of the houses. The code says there also has to be an opening within 3 feet of each corner of the house. It's hard to overestimate or overplay the importance of ventilation in crawl spaces, because crawl spaces seem to be very humid and damp, and you want that moisture out of the house. You don't want it to stay under there. So it's important that there's vents on each side of the house, that they're open. The rule of thumb as far as vents and open is this is the time of year when you start thinking about closing the vent, because we're getting ready to have some freezes, and typically your water lines are in the crawl space, so you don't want your water lines to freeze. So now is when you need to think about closing them. And then in the spring, when we get to the date of the average last freeze, you should open your vents to again start the cross ventilation and the moisture flushing from occurring in the crawl space.
And kind of the same thing in the attic. I know we're talking, well, not the same thing, but I mean, attics need ventilated year-round, right?
Yeah, you have the soffit vents that are low, and then you have the turbines or the ones that have the thermostat that turn on high. So the air goes in through the soffit vents, and of course hot air rises and it goes up to the top, and you exit it through the vents in the top of the roof. So yes, circulation in attics is very important.
And year-round, you don't put your plastic bag and your duct tape over your vent in the wintertime.
Everything I read says you leave your attic vents open all year round.
Right, and that's why those vents twirl, is to keep the water out, right? I mean, because the whole thing is to ventilate and to get the moisture and the humidity and the heat out of your attic.
Yeah, I think it's mostly heat in attics, but yeah, it can be humid in attics as well.
Okay, so cross ventilation being important. But tell me about this vapor barrier. Is it just a big piece of plastic under a house?
Yeah, I didn't write the specifications, but the code, as they are with most everything, is very specific on the thickness and the specifications as far as it's concerned. And basically, it's a sheet that goes over the ground, and it keeps the moisture in the ground from evaporating into the crawl space.
So it just lays down there? It's not really connected or anything?
No, it just lays on the ground.
Oh, well, that's pretty easy to do.
I would assume that it is.
Yeah. So, okay. Supports under a house are, back when I was a kid, I remember people saying something about, well, Carl, can you come over here and help me shim up my floor joist? And so Daddy would go over and help them jack. They would use a car jack under the house, and they would jack up the floor joists that were sagging and either put a new support under there, or they would usually just shim it up, as they said. So let's talk about supports under a crawl space.
Okay, and that's a good topic. Typically when I go to a house, I usually walk the house on the inside to feel how the floors are before I look into the crawl space, because realtors call it, what do you call it? I lost the word. But anyway, if there's unevenness in the floors, that's just the way a lot of old houses are.
Right.
But when you look into the crawl space, you can see that there's anything from concrete stem walls used to support the floor. Some of the older houses have brick columns with wood beams that span between them, and over the years the wood has a tendency to experience natural sagging as it ages. If it's an older house and they have brick columns, the mortar in the brick columns gets real powdery, or they shift in the crawl space, or the wood will deteriorate. So you've got a low spot in the floor. So a lot of times you have to go under and replace the supports that are in the crawl space. I'm, you know, no offense to your friends, but I'm not in favor of going in a crawl space and just jacking up one spot, because that typically creates a hump in the floor.
That was my daddy. He was offensive to a lot of people. So,
but I have seen car jacks that have been left in crawl spaces that have been used, like you're describing, to lift the floor. tend to want to lift a whole area rather than just a single spot whenever we do maintenance work or lift floors in a crawl space.
And at least they lift something, right? I mean, instead of just letting it sag, because then it can break.
That's
and back
correct.
In the day, these homes were not built with laminated beams like are available today if you were to have like a basement or between floors. Many times you put laminated beams, which are much stronger than a piece of wood.
Oh, they're about three times as stronger than dimensional lumber. And even the wood back in those days was not treated like a lot of the wood is today. It was just natural dimensional lumber that they put under there.
Mm-hmm. So there's a lot to that. We're going to take a break. We've got some news to cover, and we'll be back with more with David Gastgeb, structural engineer, right after this break on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. You are listening to Becky Ivins, broker of Movers Real Estate. And we are interviewing today Dave Gastgeb, who's a structural engineer. And we're kind of zeroing in and talking about crawl space houses and the problems with access, the problems, the need for ventilation and such. It is time for our word of the day, brought to you by Robbins Roofing, where their word every day is trust. You can trust Robbins Roofing to help you select the right material to go on your roof, the right material to go under your shingles, and protect you from years of moisture intrusion into your house. Robbins Roofing is 728-3700, 728-3700. And our word today is ventilation. And ventilation is providing fresh air, basically, to a room, a building, a space, just providing fresh air. Because fresh air has molecules that attract other molecules, right?
Right, and it's getting rid of old, bad air.
So ventilation is good. And sometimes folks talk about their house being tight. And nowadays, they literally create holes in your house for extra ventilation because the homes are built too tight.
And people keep breathing the same air over and over again, and apparently that's not good for you.
Have you seen those ventilations that, like, Ideal Homes puts in? It is a true vent from outside to inside of the house because their houses, they test them and measure the amount of air loss, mm-hmm. and there's not enough exchange for healthy living without this vent being put in.
I haven't seen it, but I wouldn't doubt it.
Isn't that, it's just, it's bizarre to me. I'm going, okay, we'll use a little less weather stripping. I don't know.
Yeah, make the doors fit worse.
Yeah. There's a good solution to these things, right?
Yes there is.
But there is such thing as too tight of a house and maybe too much ventilation if the wind comes sweeping down the plane of your living room. Maybe that's too much.
Yeah, your drapes shouldn't be blowing when the wind blows.
Right, there you go. Okay, but ventilation's important. And we've
yes.
talked about in the attic. We've talked about in under the house in a crawl space. Tell me about, this is just out of left field, but how about a storm cellar?
Well, most storm cellars that I've been in have their whirly bird on the outside, so they have a source of outside air or a vent.
How about the ones inside the garage in the ground?
I'm not sure that those metal doors fit that airtight that slide back over them.
Okay, I think you're right. I think it's probably just a little gap there to
sort
where they can.
In.
Yeah, that was built in. But you got to have fresh air or you suffocate.
You got to breathe. Yes.
And your house is kind of the same thing.
Exactly.
Your house is going to suffocate and get sick and.
And yes.
Its parts are going to fall apart too, just like our bodies do if we don't get fresh air.
Exactly.
So it's got to have ventilation.
Perfect.
So let's talk about We talked about the things that do support under a house, but what do we do when it fails? How do they do that? I mean, rather than just putting shims under a floor joist, sometimes floor joists rot.
They do, and that sort of goes back to the ventilation. If you have a crawl space that is not well vented and you have poor drainage, which means that it's probably very damp in your crawl space, over a period of time, wood will deteriorate. Wood will last forever if you treat it right, but if you don't treat it right and it's in a very moist environment, it will deteriorate. And I have been in crawl spaces, Becky, where I've actually grabbed one of the joists and I could pull it apart. That's how rotten it's been. I've been in houses where you couldn't walk from one side of the room to the other without falling through the floor. The floor was in such poor condition. So there's a wide range of bad things that can happen as far as the condition of the crawl space is concerned. The least is you're getting some sagging, some unevenness, and you can go into the crawl space and you can install concrete pads and blocks and beams, and you can gradually jack up and you can level and take some of the deflection out of the floor, which if there's room, that's a fairly easy solution. If you go into the crawl space and there's a lot of moisture deterioration or even termite damage, there have been times when it's been necessary to reframe the whole floor. You know, you pull up the flooring and you expose the floor joists, which are in terrible condition, and you tear them out and you just start over as far as reframing the floor. So, you know, that's why it's important to not ever, never look in, I don't know the grammar of that, but you need to you need to look into your crawl space from time to time to make sure that everything is the way that it should be in the crawl space.
Yeah. Now, who would you call to look into a crawl space? Just on, like, say, maybe, I say you should walk around your house once a month and look at your house. I mean, walk in your backyard, look at your windows, be sure they're not separating, and just kind of look at your house once a month. But maybe the crawl space once a year?
Probably once a year. And if you're having issues in your crawl space, there are some things that will probably be happening in your house that will tip you off. Like, for example, you may start generating a drywall crack over the bedroom door. Or the bathroom door, when you close it, it doesn't latch all of a sudden. So those are some indicators that your floor is moving a little bit, maybe not enough that you can feel it since you're there every day, but enough to cause the door not to latch, and that should set it off an alarm. Well, there's something going on in the crawl space that maybe I should send someone under there to take a look at.
Do you know, I saw a product on TV that a lot of people are going to get because their doors don't latch right. And it is a new, what is that little strike? Is it the strike plate?
Strike plate, yes.
And what it is, if your door doesn't line up right, they're going to sell you a strike plate, very cheap, to put in that just has a bigger hole in it to where it doesn't matter if it lines up. It's got a bigger hole for the plunger of the doorknob to go into, right? And I'm thinking, well, if your door doesn't line up, dude, check your house.
Yeah, something's happened or changed that hasn't always been that way.
And, I mean, if it's a 16th of an inch and you need to reset your thing, your strike plate, maybe that's okay. But you really should be checking your house to prevent a big deal happening.
Yeah, that's an indicator that something's starting to happen. If your door all of a sudden doesn't latch, and I'm with you, I've seen some really absurd things done to make doors latch or close, and you just sort of wonder what they were thinking when they did that.
Little hint, by the way, when you're looking at a house to buy it, almost nobody does this, but when you're looking at a house to buy it, go in the bedroom and shut the door and then open it when you leave. Same thing with the bathroom, same way with the hall closets. Just open and shut the doors and then look at them. And if there's a big gap on one side and it's real tight on the other side, you got issues.
Yes, you do. Or if you if you look at the top of the door and somebody's cut the top off, that's an indicator that there's been an issue with the door not closing, so they cut the top off to allow it to close.
And you can usually tell when a door's been cut off the top because they don't sand them down real well.
Unless that's what you do for a living, you should never try to cut the top of a door off unless you want people to know that you did.
It just splinters. It's terrible, isn't it?
Yes.
It looks really bad. And that's usually not your solution. Your solution is usually something to do with the structure of your home.
Exactly.
So, okay. Now, I haven't invited anyone to call and ask you a question, Dave.
That's good.
It's 840-1000. Ask him a question. Let's see if we can stump Dave this morning. But 840-1000, just give us a call. And how about, does age matter? The older the house, does that mean that you're going to have more problems?
Not necessarily. If you've maintained your house and taken care of it and your crawl space is well ventilated and you've checked it. Becky, I've been in houses that were built in 1916 and the wood was still pristine in the basements and the crawl spaces, but it was well ventilated. The people had been aggressive as far as dealing with situations. So age is not mean that your house is going to have problems.
Okay. So it's just, and it's basically how it's built and how it's maintained.
Yes.
Okay. Now, how about termites?
Well, I'm not a termite guy, but my termite friends tell me that in a crawl space, wood should not touch the ground. So, and because wood on the ground in a crawl space is what they refer to as a termite magnet. So if you look into your crawl space or I go into your crawl space and there's all the leftover wood laying there, or someone's done some floor supports and they've taken a 2x4 and propped it under there and stuck it on the ground, that's a bad thing.
Well, as termite guys say, it's conditions conducive to termites, right?
Yes,
and they mark
yes.
it on their little drawing that there is wood to ground contact,
which is not good.
And they suggest that you cut off that wood and replace it with a concrete or something that termites aren't going to eat.
Yes. That's very good advice.
Yeah. How about floor coverings for crawl space houses? Should they be different than a slab?
Well, it's interesting because every now and then I'll look at a house where the deck or the joists are deteriorated real bad in one part of the house, and then I'll go to another part of the house and everything, all the wood is just fine. And you go upstairs and look, and the place where the wood is deteriorated badly, there's a vinyl floor, and the place where the wood is fine is a carpet. Well, vinyl works as a vapor barrier, and air moves from warm to cold and from more moisture to less moisture. So if you have a hot and humid crawl space in the summertime, when you're air conditioning your house, you're pulling moisture out and it's cool. So that warm, moist air in the crawl space naturally wants to come up through the floor into your house. And what the vinyl does in the kitchen or the bathroom or whatever, it traps that moisture right underneath it and it condensates there. So you have that constant moisture contact with the wood, and over a period of years, it will just deteriorate that the decking or whatever. In some places, it's even OSB or particle board, which really doesn't do well with moisture. So that's another reason why it's important to have the vents to get the moisture out of the crawl space so it doesn't try and come up into your house and condensate below the vinyl floors.
Do people ever put, like, electrified vents under the house? Maybe there's not enough ventilation, so you need to, like, draw it through?
I have been in some high-end, what I call high-end houses, very large, big houses. Yes, and there have been fans in the crawl space to try and move the air, and dehumidifiers to pull the moisture out. But as a rule, I don't see that.
Yeah, I've never seen it, but it just seems like it probably would have been called for in a couple of them that I've seen, because there's just very little air moving through that crawl space.
No, that's why it's important to have it on all sides so that you can get the airflow.
Yeah, very good. Well, You are listening to Dave Gaskeb. If you want his contact information, if you have a structural issue with your home, by the way, isn't it about $500 for an evaluation of a home?
For a normal-sized home, yes.
Yeah, about a normal-sized home is about $500 for a structural engineer to come out. There are other structural engineers in the area. Somehow my phone keeps calling Dave because I can kind of depend on him. So if you want his contact information, just go to BeckyIvins.com. We're going to return after this break with our Smoke and Hot Deals. We're going to take a phone call from a caller, and we're going to talk a little bit about basements with more on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Becky Ivins, broker of Movers Real Estate. If you want to contact me, I keep forgetting to give out my own phone number. It is 722-3232, 722-3232. Beverly, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for calling in. And what's your question?
Yeah, we just had a couple questions about the crawl space issues. One is the musty smell that often happens. We do open our vents in the spring and close them when it gets cold. Is there anything else we can do or anything special that we are overlooking that might could help with that?
Is it musty basement or musty crawl space?
Crawl space.
Okay. Well,
have you been in the crawl space, you know? Crawl spaces are by nature damp and dark. Is there anything under there that could be causing that smell, or is it like that all the time or just at certain times?
It's pretty much like that most of the time. I haven't been under there. I kind of, you know, I draw the line going under crawl spaces.
Good for you.
That's a smart woman we're dealing with here.
Yep.
Beverly from Norman is a smart woman. Okay.
I've had people work on the house and they've been under there and, you know, they haven't mentioned anything, but, you know, that's another question, I guess, is who do we call to maybe come out and look at it and check to see if there's structural issues or if there's something else that can be done about the mustiness or.
Well, I could check for structural issues. I certainly wouldn't guarantee that I could pinpoint what the cause of the musty issues are, Beverly. That's sometimes those are really tough deals to get to the bottom of.
And the mustiness is typically caused by moisture, though. So
yes.
Maybe, yeah, it seems like to me that vapor barrier might protect your house, but it also might trap water under it that might start to stink, too.
It could if you have that, yes.
So you might look for that. Do you want me to tell you the cheapest way? Have someone check under your house, call a termite guy. They'll do a termite inspection for a homeowner typically for free.
Okay.
And they might find termites. So, I mean, but if you've got them, got termites, you want them. You want to treat for them. And the moisture, by the way, that's a threat to a home from a termite standpoint, too, because if you have standing water, it dilutes the termite chemical, the barrier that's put in the ground to prevent the termites from getting into your house. It dilutes the chemical, and it just destroys the barrier. So, and it kind of attracts termites, the moisture does.
They have to have moisture.
So that's, you definitely need to get it checked out. And if your termite guy can tell you, having crawled under there, boy, you need to call Dave to look at this house because you've got some issues. So I'd start with termite.
Okay.
And just say, I just want to be sure it smells musty under there. I want to be sure I don't have termites. But call a reputable termite person. To me, I avoid the big names. And if you would like to have the name of a couple of good reputable termite guys, call my office, 722-3232.
Okay.
My experience with the big names has not been good in my profession. Sometimes people treat and don't have to treat.
Right.
So you need a really honest guy that knows what they're doing, has been around a little while.
Okay. And then as far as the structure goes, we renovated about 10 years ago and added on, and there's a a back door that's, you know, you kind of had to lift up a little bit to lock. And I didn't know if that was, I know that the house is quote unquote settled at times. And so I didn't know if that was okay or if that's something that's like, how much is too much is enough to be worried about as far as the settling goes.
What I do with doors is I...
Go ahead. We've just got less than a minute, but go right ahead.
Sorry.
I carry a 2-foot level, Beverly, and I put that on the head of doors. And if the bubble is inside the lines, you're fine. Or if you're noticing constant change with your door that you keep having to adjust it, that means the movement is active and you probably need to be addressing it. But if it's not bad and it seems to be stabilized, then I would just adjust the door until something made me do something else.
Thank you for your call, Beverly, and we are out of time. Thank you, David Gaskeb. Go to BeckyIvins.com to get David's telephone number under Becky's Favorites tabs. We'll see you next week with more on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move.